that impacted my life greatly because I was raised in church because my parents have served the Lord as long as I've been alive. But God used people throughout their life to encourage them, to mentor them, to help them grow. And so this month, we've been talking about God's direction. So most of you see the pathway that we have. And we'll talk about, you know, the different aspects of the pathway throughout the message today. But we're going to look mostly through the Psalms. I really felt led to just this message came mostly from the Psalms. And so we're going to talk about how you start on this pathway, how you stay on the pathway, the things that we learn about God on the pathway. And so none of us are an island. Like I just said, we affect multiple people. And that's why it is vital that we be living our lives surrendered to Almighty God. Because when my life is surrendered to Him, not only am I impacting myself and my family, but I'm impacting everybody else that God has called me to impact. See, when I live for myself, not only do I miss out on what God is calling me to accomplish, but I miss out on all the other people that God had called me to influence. And especially when I have all of this knowledge that God has given me and I don't do anything with it and I don't influence people, that is a shame. And the Bible says we will give an account. And so it's important that we understand our thoughts, our attitudes, our passions, and our contributions have a ripple effect. I listened to a message by Caroline Leaf this past week, and she was talking about how we choose the thoughts that we allow to run in our minds. We choose. Now, we can say all day long that, you know, I don't have any control. But the truth is, we choose the attitude that we choose to live with that day. And then that attitude affects not only us, but all the people that we come into contact with. Because if I get up on the wrong side of the bed and then I go to Dollar General with a bad attitude and then I'm rude to somebody behind the checkout counter because I'm in a bad mood, well then now he or she is either frustrated or annoyed, and then that in turn affects everybody else. You know, that our attitudes, our actions have a ripple effect, and we need to take responsibility for those things and understand. That's why it's so important that we understand that our lives were His idea. It wasn't just that my parents decided that they wanted to have a baby in 1975. That's a long time ago, you know. But it wasn't just their idea. God Almighty is the one who created me. Now, my parents obviously had a part in the process, you know, but God is the one who created me. And so when we understand that we weren't just randomly created, that our lives were His idea, then our lives have meaning and we can affect the world as we were designed to. He created us and He invites us through relationship with Him to begin this walk. We're going to start in Psalm 104, verse 30. So if you want to stand for this verse, and then you can be seated. And this Psalm 104 is talking about God's creation and how He created. And verse 30 says, "You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." God is the one who creates. Oh, that's not it. Psalm 104, 30. And then we're going to John 3, actually. So I'm going to read it again. "You send forth your spirit, the Holy Spirit, and they are created. You renew the face of the earth." Okay, you can be seated. So God is the one who creates. Through His plan, He renews and rebuilds the earth. The Holy Spirit brings life and creation. The Bible says in the beginning that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. And it says the Spirit hovered over the waters. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God Almighty, God the Father, were all involved in creation. And so this says, "You send forth your spirit and they are created." The Holy Spirit brings life in creation. He also brings new life when we surrender our lives to Jesus. See, Christianity is not just, I wake up one day, I have a good idea, I decide, you know what, I think I believe in Jesus. I think that I believe that He died and rose again. It is so much more than that. It is new life that causes us to be born again and begin to see things from a spiritual perspective that we never saw before. Look in John chapter 3, and I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Jesus was explaining here to a teacher of the law who understood the law, but he didn't understand what it meant to live the life that Jesus was offering when He came on the earth. Because up until that time, the Jewish people lived by the law. But when Jesus came, he offered them a way to live by grace. And so he's explaining, though, how it has to start. In verse 5, Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." I just want to stop here, and I just want to ask you, I feel like so often, sadly, we take the word of God like with a grain of salt. Like we just go, oh, yeah, yeah. But we don't like let it really change our thinking, impact our heart, and walk it out. So can I just challenge you today? Just take the words that we're going to read out of the Bible and just take them as truth. And let that truth change the way that you have thought before. Because sometimes we read the Bible, but we compare it to what we already thought, and then we revert back to what we already thought. And we're not changed if we do that. We need to allow the Word and God's perspective to change us. So here, Jesus continues in verse 6. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. That's why if you have surrendered your life to Jesus and become a Christian, really surrendered, given your life to Christ, had a revelation of who Jesus is, it was not just your idea. You cannot do that on your own. That comes because the Bible says we cannot come unless the Father draws us. So here, Jesus himself said, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So when somebody comes to church or somebody reads their Bibles, sometimes by themselves, or when they hear a message through the television, or when a friend talks to them on a bus, one of the kids that came, well, he's like 28 now, but one of the teenagers that came to church for a long time by himself. His parents didn't come, and he came to church, but he gave his life to the Lord Jesus on a bus because he went to an FCA meeting and he talked to his friend, because at the FCA meeting they said, if you have questions, talk to a friend that knows Jesus. So on the bus, he talked to a friend. She told him about Jesus. He gave his life to the Lord. He came to church for like 10 years here by himself. And then he got married and moved away. You know, those of you that know Danny, he's been serving God, you know, all that time because the Holy Spirit was drawing him. The girl beside him on the bus was talking to him, but the Holy Spirit was drawing him and produced in him spiritual life. The same as what happened with my parents. If they had not surrendered their lives, if the Holy Spirit hadn't been drawing them, maybe for a while, just out of sheer frustration, fine, we will come to church with you, so you will leave us alone. But eventually, you can only pull people for so long if they don't make a genuine commitment to the Lord Jesus. And that's why, listen, we all need mentors, but at some point, we as people have to make a decision. I am going to live my life by what the Bible says, no matter what anybody else does or doesn't do. No matter if anybody calls me and says that I should come to church, no matter if anybody tells me that they missed me when I was gone, no matter if my finances are struggling, I'm going to do what the Bible says. And we have to make a determination. God, your word is true, and I'm going to live by it. And so it continues. So don't be surprised in verse 7 when I say you must be born again. Why do we have to be born again? Because if we just come like we are, we just come in a physical sense. We just come and I bring my ideas and go, God, I think that I believe in you. It has to be a new birth. We have to start over in the way that we think, in the way that we live, in the way that we view the Bible. All of those things have to change. And so he said, so don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. So don't get discouraged if you don't understand it all to begin with. Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. He came to Jesus to understand spiritual things, and he did not understand what Jesus was talking about. He's like, how can these things be? Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? Jesus was explaining to him, listen, there has got to be a deeper level of understanding, because what you've got right now is not explaining it to you, because you don't understand these things. Continue, we're going to look now in verse 14 through 21. As Jesus continued, he's still talking to Nicodemus. He said, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so he's referring to what happened in history with the Jewish people, so, and he's explaining spiritual truths through that. So the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes. Now, this is very important that we understand what believes mean. It is not just an intellectual assent. I believe that Jesus, the historical figure, died on the cross one day and, you know, maybe he rose again. It is the word believe means to have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or thing. It means credit. It means to entrust, which means to commit to another with confidence, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. So when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, like Romans 10 says that we're going to look at later, when you believe, when it says he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes, this is, like I said, not just thinking. It is an understanding of who Jesus is. Not just who he was when he died on the cross. It is an understanding of who he is now. A revelation that he is worthy of my life commitment. That he is worthy to surrender who I am to who he is. And when we believe in that way, we have eternal life. Because it continues. In him will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Now, the reason that I'm pointing this out about belief is because there are so many people that go, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Their lifestyle shows nothing about the word of God. There is a disconnect there somewhere. Because if you believe like this word is saying, then it will change your life. And if you have an intellectual assent to go, I believe in Jesus, but I'm still going to live my life like I want to, then you're missing the connection. And if you will read the Bible, Jesus will show it to you. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you if you will open your heart to let him teach you. Because Christianity is a process. It is a pathway. When people come up and give their lives to Jesus, it is not the end of the race. It is the beginning of the path that we walk with him. So, verse 19. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. So, Christianity begins with us really and truly believing in who Jesus is, us coming into the light so that he can show us consistently our deeds, our actions, and how we need to line up with what he is calling us to do. Because we're going to talk about this later, but I just want to go ahead and say, if you notice down the pathway, right down the center of these pathways, it says surrender, because surrender is a part of the process. It is a part. Right down the center of this pathway is surrender. So, point number two. I spent a long time on that one, but that's okay. We're going to cover a bunch of different things about this pathway. The second thing that I want to cover is his pathway has light. If you notice, we're going to look at these later, but these little candles that represent light. But 1 John 1:5-7 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So as we walk with him, he lights our way and we have fellowship with other people. Now, if you find yourself not wanting to come into the light, not wanting to read your Bible, not wanting to be around other Christians because they just make me feel so judged, because I just feel so judged every time I'm around Christians, you need to check yourself. I'm just going to say it. Because, number one, the devil loves to keep people out of church. He loves to tell everybody the same lie. Everybody at that church is judging you. All those people are hypocrites. You know, he's been telling people the same lie for like 100 years. I mean, it's not anything new, but all of us have felt judged. But sometimes the reason we feel judged is because we have sin that is being exposed when we come into the light. And when we come into the light, rather than trying to hide the sin that's in our lives, we need to say, God, will you forgive me and will you deal with the sin in my life? That is the beauty of coming to church, is that if the sin in us is exposed, we have the opportunity to deal with it. Listen, and we're better off. We're going to stand before God. I would rather get all of my stuff straight down here, get it straight, repent over it, so that I don't stand before God having covered it up and pretended like everything was fine. So when we come into the light, now if you really do feel judged, can I just tell you, talk to somebody. You know, sometimes we project onto other people what we are feeling. If I feel shamed, if I feel judged, I can come into church and I can project that onto everybody that comes. Now, I'm not saying that churches are perfect, because there are judgy people in churches. The truth is, Matthew 7 had to be written, and Jesus had to say, if you have a speck in your eye, if you have a log in your eye, don't try to take the speck out of somebody else's, because we as Christians do that sometimes. Sometimes we treat each other wrong and we judge each other and we don't handle things the wrong way. But you don't throw the whole truth that God ordained of the church out just because we don't all have it together yet. If you need to go talk to somebody, you go talk to somebody and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? So, God offers us light. He lights our way. Psalm 18:28 in the New Living Translation says, you light a lamp for me. The Lord my God lights up my darkness. When we feel like we are in darkness, we need to come to God and say, God, will you show me what to do here? Will you give me light? We need to go to his word. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have these because these actually are just different scriptures that God has used specifically in my life. Thomas, will you turn the lights off for a minute? You know, we have all this artificial light in here, but you know, when we are walking down a path and we don't know what to do, the word of God will give us light and will show us what to do in these situations. I love, too, that we have this window, because, you know, God says he is light and in him is no darkness at all. So just by walking with God Almighty, he is our light. But he has also given us scripture, like some of these that I put. I'll just read some of them to you. This one says, Matthew 25:35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. God used this scripture one time when I was praying about what to do. And like a shaft of light, I knew exactly what he wanted me to do. This one says, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. This scripture has led me many, many times. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God wants to show us what to do in situations in our lives. He wants to give us wisdom. But notice, it says, if you lack wisdom, ask him. Sometimes we don't get wisdom because we don't ask for it. God doesn't just come down and make us do what he thinks we should. This one, Psalm 34:4, just a couple of weeks ago, God used this in my life. It says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And so, you know, I was struggling, and this particular day I read Psalm 34:4 and I was like, wow. And I sat down right then on my phone, on my notes on my phone, and just started to make a list of all my fears. And I just presented them to the Lord. I said, Lord, you said that you would deliver me from all of my fears. See, that's how we take the word and don't just go, oh, what a nice little poem. That's so nice for somebody. We take it and apply it to our circumstances. Malachi 3:10, this is the one that, you know, I didn't like to talk about for a long time because I'm a pastor and people think pastors just want your money and all that nonsense. But this is a part of my life. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. This has directed my finances. I live by this verse. Rick and I live by this verse that it says what to do with my finances. I already know what happens with the first 10% of my money. It goes to the church because that's what the Bible says to do. It goes to the storehouse. So I'm just going to leave those there and we're going to continue. But the word lights our way. If you turn those lights back on. Okay, the next point that I want to say before we get too much further down the path, and this is an important, will you put up the PowerPoint, the second PowerPoint, Joe? You can just skip to the second one. This is an important point to understand as Christians. Now, you've heard the saying, I've already been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Okay, some of you need this t-shirt in your life because you feel like God is mad at you all the time. Listen, He's not. Now, if you are sinning, then yes, God gets angry. And if you sin, then you need to repent. But that doesn't mean sometimes we project our feelings onto God. And if you grew up maybe with somebody that was mad at you all the time, I got a revelation of this. And it's sad because I didn't grow up like my parents weren't mad at me all the time. I mean, my mom didn't get mad that often. Neither of my parents really freaked out all the time. And I realized like I was just spending a lot of the time just thinking that God was mad at me all the time. And it really causes you not to want to get close to somebody if you just think they're looking at you, shaking their head in shame all the time. You know, it's important that we understand. I want to show you this verse, Psalm 103, verses 8 and 9. This is what the Bible says about God. It says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. Now, the devil, the Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. So he will accuse you through your own thoughts, through other people, through actions, through all of those kind of things. But God doesn't accuse us all the time. Now, he convicts us. And many times conviction starts because we need to change something. And then the devil comes on and piles on condemnation and tells you, yeah, you're a terrible Christian. Why do you even try? You might as well give it up. We don't have to listen to that, though. We need to take this truth about God for what it is. It says that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He is slow to get angry. And I thought about this actually myself with the way that I was thinking about God. And I thought, I don't want my kids to think I was angry at them all the time. Like, I want them to know I'll get angry if they do something wrong. Because sometimes a little bit of, you know, anger is a little bit of fear is a good thing. Like, you know, I don't want you to just cross that line and think that nothing's going to happen. But I don't want them to think I'm angry at them all the time. We need to understand God's character so that we want to come to Him. So that, yes, if we blow it, we confess our sins. 1 John 8:10, I want to read this. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The danger, the flip side of people that think God is mad at them all the time are the people that just think that they're okay. You know, me and God and the man upstairs, we got our own thing going. No, you don't. You will stand before God with the same truth that everybody else will stand with before God with. That is what the Word of God says. We don't get to make it up as we go along. We don't get to assume that things are fine just because our life is going pretty good. We have to live by what the Bible says. And we have to understand what He says. We don't have to guess about what God thinks or what He wants us to do. It's already written down. And He will speak to us if we will listen to Him. But we need to understand verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, I had to learn to live by this verse because I would find myself walking and living in guilt for something that I repented a week ago or a year ago or 10 years ago. Honestly, like I as a child and a teenager and even as an adult, I was so desperate to please that I just, you know, anything that I did wrong, if I had a thought of something that I did wrong, that was replaying in my head, I would just repent again and repent again. God had long since forgiven me, but I allowed guilt to cause me to keep feeling guilty. Listen, we don't have to let guilt overtake us. God does not want that for his children any more than I want that for mine. He wants us to walk in his love and in his grace and in his mercy. So if we confess, if we say what we did wrong, ask God to forgive us, ask him to help us change, he will cleanse us and he will forgive us. So we have to remember who God is and who he's not. A lot of our relationships are built or broken based on perception. How the other person thinks about us, how we feel the other person thinks about us, causes us to interpret what they feel and what they say. And so we need to desire to get to know the different aspects of God. God has multiple sides. Yes, he gets angry, but he also loves. He offers us relationship. He draws us into, you know, an understanding of who he is. And that's the beauty of reading the word and walking with him, is that we can get to see different sides of him. And so we need to desire that. And we can grow with him while we're walking this path. We have to choose to surrender. Surrender runs down the center of this whole path. It's one of the ways we stay on the path. If we are not willing to surrender multiple times in our lives, then we will end up stepping off the path and living in our own path. We need to be honest when we do that, though, because there are a lot of people walking their own path, patting themselves on the back, telling themselves that God understands. Listen, surrender is a part of the deal. Jesus didn't mince words about that. He wasn't afraid to say it. Surrender is a part of the life that he offers us. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines surrender as to give oneself up to the power of another. Now, this is not a popular sentiment in our do what makes you happy, live like you want to, make your own path society, where everybody should just do what makes them happy and what's comfortable for them and make their own way. But that is not what the Bible says. And God's not afraid to lay it out. So in just a minute, Kaylee York, I'm going to move these candles and move this podium. Actually, Rick, will you get somebody and just move this podium for me? Kaylee York, I have asked Kaylee York to do a dance to a song called Remember Surrender. If you've ever seen Kaylee dance, she puts her all into it. She dances with all of her might, and it's beautiful. And I want us to understand, as you see this dance and hear this song, the beautiful release that comes from surrendering, from giving all that we are to God, from living and surrendering exactly the way that he is calling us to. And so, Kaylee, will you come dance? Also, Kaylee's been at this church since she was like 1 year old, and now she's headed off to college, so it's a wonderful time to have her dance. Surrender is a part of the pathway. It's a beautiful part, just like Kaylee's dance, because when we offer all of ourselves, we gain so much more from him. Surrender has to remain a part, though, because throughout our Christian life, we have to surrender certain things. And if we refuse, those things that we refuse to surrender will trip us up in our walk with God, because God calls us to surrender things for a reason. There's always a reason why he asks us to surrender certain things. Sometimes it's questions that we don't have the answers to yet. Sometimes it's timelines that we haven't been given. Sometimes it's habits that feel so necessary that we can't live without them. Sometimes it's relationships that take our eyes off of the ones that are most important. Our faith can become clouded by our understanding or our lack thereof at times. That's why in those moments we have to choose trust. We have to choose to trust him even when we don't understand. Either we believe what his word says or we don't. And that's the reality. If we do believe it, then requires surrender from us. It's a beautiful relief, though, when you remember who you're surrendering to. The one who knows and loves and sees and restores. Romans 10:9. If you put up the PowerPoint, the last PowerPoint. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Surrender, as I said, means to give oneself up into the power of another. Jesus said in Mark 8:35, I'm sorry, it's small. I don't know if y'all can read it, but it says, Jesus said, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Because we have to be willing to lay down my rights, my feelings, my dreams at times, my desires, what I think is best, what I want to do. But it is always worth it when we really begin to see who God is, that he is the wisest, that he is the best, that he has the best plans, and that he knows exactly what needs to happen, not only in our lives, but in the lives that we're going to impact and in the lives of the people around us. So we lose our life by surrendering to his way and his path and his plans, and he is worth it. And in the end, we gain not only relationship and peace from him down here, but we gain a future and an eternity where we can stand before him and we can enjoy life with him there. So I actually had a couple more points, but I just feel like we're done. So I'm going to ask Joe to play this song. And this is kind of a different way to end. I just really feel, like I said, surrender is a part of the process. It's a part of the life that we live as Christians. So I want to challenge you, if you have never really surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, if you have never seen him for who he is, the fact that he is worthy of everything, everything that you are, everything that you have, everything that your future holds, then that's where you start on the pathway. There's a reason why this pathway is white, because surrender, usually a white flag, usually surrender is a white flag. But number two, white often symbolizes purity. And we are pure to walk on this pathway, not because of who we are, not because of the fact that we came having it all together, but because we understand who Jesus is and that his death on the cross meant that I could come into relationship with God Almighty despite all my drama, despite the way I was raised, despite the mistakes that I've made, despite the things that I said or did this morning, that if I repent, if I offer myself to him and I say to him, God, you are worth it, and I want to offer my life as it is to you, and I choose to walk on this pathway, to walk by what your word says, to surrender to you every day and live like you're calling me to live, then I just challenge you, if you have never done that, or if you need to redo that again and you would like for us to pray with you, then Rick and I will be over here. We would be glad to share some scripture with you and to pray with you. But I want to challenge you also, if you are already saved and you know that there are some areas that need to be surrendered in your life, and that has been true for me on an ongoing basis, we're going to play that Remember Surrender song again. And I just challenge you to find a place on the pathway and let that standing or kneeling or whatever, however you choose to do it, say to God, God, I want to do things your way. Because sometimes we need to make a step, you know, we need to do more than just say, oh yeah, I really should make some changes in my life. There's a reason also why this pathway goes all the way out of the church doors. I would have liked to have taken it out to like the parking lot, but you know, that just wasn't feasible. But listen, we're not to only live surrendered lives when we're sitting in church. When I'm walking down the church aisle is not the only time that I live surrendered. I'm to live surrendered when I'm at home watching television, when I'm at home with my family, with my husband, with my children, when I'm out doing entertainment, whatever it is I choose to do. My life is to be on his pathway, led by his word, walking in the way that he has called me to. So I just challenge you to find a place and let that Say to God, God, I surrender. I don't even know if I have the strength to do it, but God, I believe that you are strong enough to help me do what you're asking me to do and to live in the way that you're calling me to live. Because listen, the longer you walk with God, the more you will realize it is about him. It's not about my ability. It's not about my power. It's not about how spiritual I am or the fact that I was raised in church, because Rick wasn't raised in church. I mean, it is about surrender and saying to God, God, you are enough to help me do this.